This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. New guidelines set by the Subang Jaya Municipal Council, MPSJ, in September now allow developers to build high-density projects along the Kelana Jaya LRT extension line. Now, will this mean more congested living and increased traffic woes, or will the reverse be true and actually make public transportation more accessible? Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran is back for his monthly show on local governance and is here to give us some answers. Welcome to the show, Rajiv.
Hi. Thanks for having me back. And I'd like to wish everyone a happy Deepawali.
Yes.
To all listeners out there.
So, looking at this then, with the new guidelines, property developers can now build up to a plot ratio of 1 to 8 compared to the previous limit of 1 to 4. What is a plot ratio? What difference does it make?
All right. So, let me see if I can explain this in simple terms. A plot ratio basically defines how much of floor space a landowner can build on his piece of land. So a plot ratio of 2 would signify that you can build 2 times of your land size in any height that you desire. So let's say if you have a piece of land that is 100,000 square feet, if you have plot ratio of 2, you can build your building up to 200,000 square feet. Let's say if you have a plot ratio of 8 and your land is 100,000 square feet, you are allowed to build 800,000 square feet of building space. So the higher the plot ratio, the more building you can build, and the more money your land is worth.
So the higher the plot ratio, probably the higher the prospective building as well.
Yes. So the height of the building naturally goes up as the plot ratio increases. But this is not necessarily the case, as even with a lower plot ratio, you can still have very thin and tall buildings. Now, this is really case by case. We see different landowners having different priorities when they set up their building. Some prefer a more spacious ground floor, so they may not build a very, say, fat and short building. They may build a thin and tall building. But regardless, the method used in Malaysia is quite similar to the method used around the world, that is using this plot ratio, or, you know, in some other countries, they call it gross floor ratio, where what is regulated is the total square feet of the building, and the total square feet of the building is in a ratio to the land size.
So from what I understand, Selangor is proposing, as we mentioned, to set the maximum ratio at 1 to 8 for transit-oriented development. So why 8?
So I think we should also clarify that this transit-oriented development zones in Selangor is an area of 400-meter radius around an LRT station. So this includes existing LRT, MRT stations, and also the future ones that is under construction. And if this proposal goes through, we'll see buildings in this area double in plot ratio, which could mean doubling in size. Doubling in size may mean doubling in height, but not necessarily doubling in height, because they could also it's really a combination of width and height, and it really depends on each landowner, each developer, to how they want to play it out. But an increase of plot ratio in these areas is very likely to encourage developers to maximize what is allowed. And thus, you will see bigger buildings in areas 400 meters from the LRT stations.
Looking at this guideline then, what are the other criteria that we're going to set? Or perhaps first before then, let's talk about this. Transit-oriented development, transit-adjacent development, you know, what are all the differences in this? What are the different types of development to do with transit?
Well, I think this is a term that is been coined up that is, in my opinion, often used to justify higher plot ratios, especially around transit stations. And so some of the terms that you've mentioned just now goes to signify the distance from the station, where a transit-oriented development signifies 400 meters from the station. A transit-adjacent development could mean 800 meters from the station, and so on. So there's no set rule on this. If you were to just do a simple Google search, there are some known international practices, but no set in stone rule that says, you know, a transit oriented development means this and that. So it comes down to each respective city or country to define things like that. But I think what should be noted is that transit oriented development should be taken holistically. it is not just about increasing the building sizes, the density of the buildings within a 400-meter radius. And I think 400 meters is quite a common number internationally because it is the distance that people can walk comfortably. So any building within 400 meters of a station, people who live or work in those buildings can walk to and fro the station. But we've got to take into account a lot of other factors that affect livability besides the transit station in making decisions such as this.
We're discussing new guidelines that will allow developers to build high-density projects along the Kelana Jaya LRT extension line. If you would like to call up and ask Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman Rajiv Rishikaran some questions on this, feel free. That number is 0377109000. You can also text 0162019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, let's talk about livability. Right. We've talked about population density, about how many in Selangor feel like, you know, we're just kind of living in this very, very populated space. What would you say to local residents who are worried about overdevelopment?
All right. I think that's a concern that is shared by quite a number of residents, especially in my area of Petaling Jaya, in my constituency of Bukit Gasing. Quite a number of residents have expressed concerns of overdevelopment. And we've got to see why do people feel like that. I think for a start, there is no set number that defines overdevelopment because if you look around the world, we have cities of various different densities that have varying levels of quality of life. A lot of the cities in, let's say, the top 10 livable cities tend to have lower densities than Petaling Jaya or KL. So if you look at Melbourne, Vancouver, cities such as this that consistently make the top 10 of the world's best livable cities, they tend to have population densities of less than 4,000 people a square kilometer. So KL, PJ, we have gone beyond 6,000 people per square kilometer, and that's when the pressures of urban living start to set in. But this can be offset because if you look at certain other examples like Seoul in South Korea, they have 17,000 people per square kilometer. So this is really dense compared to, say, Melbourne. But yet they make it work. So then making it work becomes a challenge. And one of the criteria that will make a city livable is traffic. Now, if you're stuck in traffic, you spend 2 hours to go to work, you spend 2 hours to come back from work, you will not consider the Klang Valley a livable city because you will be frustrated every day going to and fro work. If you are stuck waiting for a bus and you're stuck in any kind of poorly connected public transport, you will not consider the city livable. So traffic and transport, these are very key factors when we talk about dense cities. So the level that we already are at, above 6,000 people per square kilometre, we've got to get our public transport right. We've got to get our road networks right. And people shouldn't have to spend too long a time in traffic or in public transport, getting to work, getting from work, or getting to anywhere. So I think that's a very key thing. Now, if you look at the plot ratio question, if you ask random people from around the world, right, from New York to Sydney to Singapore or to even our smaller towns in, let's say, Vienna, hardly anyone knows what the plot ratio in their city is.
Right.
Hardly anyone would know what the maximum allowed plot ratio is because it's not something that we talk about day to day. But what we do know is that I feel congested or I don't feel congested. And this is something that the authorities must take into account. So if you want to have a higher density city, there's no right or wrong answer for this. If you say that, you know, 6,000 plus in Petaling Jaya and 6,000 plus in KL is rather low and we would like to go up to 10,000 people per square kilometre, maybe 12,000 people per square kilometre, I think that decision has to be made consciously. And the infrastructure to cater to that population, that to cater to such a high density, must be put into place. So we've seen an example in Singapore. Singapore is ramping up their population to 6.9 million people. And then they have drawn up a master plan. They've drawn up the concept plan for 2030. So they want to get 6.9 million people. A lot of it will be foreigners. But they've put into place plans to cope with that. Now, the first thing is you can see the massive construction of new MRTs in Singapore to cater to the increasing amount of people in Singapore. The second thing is that the Singapore concept plan puts into place a green space plan So how do we get enough recreation and enough greenery? I think this is something that affects us subconsciously. Now, we want to see greenery. We want to be able to know that there's space. You know, it's that you come out of your house, your apartment, your condominium, and you head to work, and all you see is just buildings around you. You don't see greenery, and that affects you, and then you feel congested. You may feel claustrophobic. So these are factors that we want to take into account. How do we cater for that? Now, Seoul may be a very high density city at 17,000 people per square kilometer. It is really, really much higher than the world's best livable cities. But Seoul manages it. They have about 16 square meters of open space, green space, per person in Seoul. Despite the high density, they have allocated such a high amount of public space. In fact, higher than Singapore. Singapore is only around 10 square meters of green space per person. So this is something that the authorities in the Klang Valley, especially like DBKL, MPPJ, and even the Selangor State Government, should take into consideration before and as we increase any density. If you want to say we increase plot ratios from 4, that is currently allowed, to 8, how would we cope with that? How would we manage traffic? You see buildings that are near LRT stations, they still have full car parks. Look at Mid Valley Mega Mall. You've got a KTM station next to it, the car park is full. Look at MCOP Mall in PJ. You've got the LRT right next to it, yet the car park is filled with cars. So even though you are next to a station, you've got cars driving to it. So how are you going to manage that? That's a very important question. How are you going to manage green space that affects quality of life of everyone around it? How are we going to manage the other amenities? Now, if you're going to have an increased amount of people living in a concentrated area, can the schools in that area cope with that increased population? Now, if the schools can't cope, we've got to have a plan to deal with that. So it's about a it's about having holistic development moving forward. It's about having the right parameters in place that we want to have a certain ratio for schools. We don't want schools to be overcrowded. Then you start compromising on education quality. You want to have your green space managed so people are not feeling too compressed. So if these things are put into place, Malaysia can accept a higher plot ratio. We can digest it.
And we'll talk about, you know, those kinds of measures, because that was a long laundry list of things that need to be taken
into consideration.
And we'll cover that after the break. If you've got any questions today for Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, on town planning, on higher density living, on what it might mean for you, that number to call is 03-771-09000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. We are discussing town planning and higher density living in light of the new guidelines set by MPSJ, or put forward in MPSJ, that are suggesting a plot ratio of 1-8 for transit-oriented development. Now, this, it sounds like a lot of technical stuff, but I think if you heard the first half, we've covered that basically what it means is more people.
Yes,
and hopefully a town that can accommodate more people. Now, looking at things like green space, looking at things like walkability, livability, how do you kind of put those assessments in place before you decide, okay, we can increase this? Because you're basically doubling it.
I think that's where things like concept plans come into place. Earlier, I talked about Singapore having a population target and then planning backwards, you know, as to what they need to be able to cope with such a population. But Singapore isn't the only one. Melbourne has one. The city of Melbourne is looking to double its population. For reasons best known to them, they've decided that they want to embark on such a mission. But in embarking on such a mission, then you plan your infrastructure to deal with that. And this is something that we also need to do here in Malaysia, regardless of which state in Malaysia, because many parts of Malaysia is rapidly developing. KL is rapidly developing. PJ is Subang Jaya. But even Johor Bahru, Penang, these places are also rapidly developing. So it's a matter of having your concept plan. I would call it a concept plan, but you can call it any other name. It's about having your concept plan done up right from the start. Like, what are your targets? You know, what are we hoping to achieve? And it's very crucial that we identify our population targets. It's very important that we set in parameters and there are international ways to benchmark how much of green space per person do we want to cater for, how much of traveling time do we expect someone to go through every day to work. So if we say we set a benchmark of 45 minutes is what should take you to go from any place to any place within the city. So we've got to put into place trains, MRTs, sufficient bus lanes in order to be able to achieve such a target. But it all starts with having the right targets. And this is absolutely crucial that state governments, local governments in Malaysia start thinking along these lines. You know, let's set parameters, our targets of what we want to achieve to have higher quality of life. And I think the debate on plot ratio comes in much, much later, because plot ratio in and by itself is not an issue. On whether we have plot ratio 4, plot ratio 8, I think that debating about that misses the point, because for most of us, what we ultimately want is good quality of life. I don't want to get stuck in traffic, and I think most of our listeners out there don't want to get stuck in traffic.
All, I think you can say all.
BFM may want you to get stuck in traffic, so you listen to more BFM. But for the most of us, we don't want to get stuck in traffic, and we wish for a town and that in where we can move around smoothly. And that's not an issue of plot ratio 4 or plot ratio 8. I think that's debating that misses the point. I think the issue is about setting goals and then working on the plan to achieve that goal. So we set 45 minutes as our target, or we set 1 hour as our target. So then what kind of infrastructure do we need to put in place to achieve that? And I think that's where the issue lies. High quality cities like Melbourne can have very high plot ratios. Melbourne has a plot ratio of 24 in the city centre. Singapore has a plot ratio of 20-25 in the city centre. And they still have a good transport factors.
We have a phone call here from Sandhu. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello, your question?
Yes, my question is for Rajib. Rajib, I'm staying in Petaling Jaya. And what I would like to ask is, currently there's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of buildings that are coming up in Petaling Jaya, and together with the MRT construction. The main thing that I'm very concerned about is with all these constructions, I don't see that areas that are already very highly populated and areas that are jammed, they seem to be developing more high-rise buildings and high-rise condominiums in these areas, whereas the traffic flow is already very bad. And I'm wondering if such studies into these traffic flow problems, do they do studies to analyze traffic flow before they give approval for such high-rise developments?
Okay, I think that's very, very good question and very good components that we need to deal with.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling in. All right, let's look at the first challenge that we face in Petaling Jaya, which will be quite similar in the rest of the country, is that most of the land that you see around you, whether it's filled with trees or it has a building on it, it's already privately owned. And so the question is, how do you stop privately owned land from building? So the issue in Malaysia is a lot of developments still continue to come up because the land is already privately owned. The law requires government to compensate the landowner if we stop them from building. And this compensation will be ultimately the taxpayers' money. And so that's why up to today, it's very rarely done. However, you're right. We've got to take into account there are a lot of parts of PJ that are in a tremendous amount of traffic jam. And there are a lot of new buildings that are coming up. So one of the things that PJ is doing is right now it's in the midst of drawing up a transport master plan. Now, no other city in Selangor or the Klang Valley has done it yet. PJ is leading the charge on this, and I hope everyone else follows suit, because this is extremely important. So for the first time, we are drawing up a master plan, and it's in the process now. And I hope in the next few months, we get to present something to the general public as to what we have come up with. Now, with this transport master plan, this will show where we need to build connecting roads, where we need to build public transport lines, and where we need to put bus lines in order to manage the traffic within Petaling Jaya. So yes, we do need to deal with it, and we are working on dealing with it. And this is, once again, comes back to what we've talked earlier, that you've got to have holistic planning in place. Now, increasing the plot ratio, it's going to increase the population of Petaling Jaya. Increasing the plot ratio in Subang Jaya is going to increase the population of Subang Jaya. Unless we do it holistically. We can increase the plot ratio near the stations, let's say near the upcoming LRT stations. And I'm in favor of that. If we do that in tandem with a bigger plan. So maybe by increasing the plot ratio near the LRT station, the landowner gets extra value because his land now is worth much more with the permission to build much higher. With that, we can impose a charge on that piece of land. So in Malaysia, that is allowed under the law. It's called a development charge. When we increase the value of your land through zoning changes, we can collect a development charge from you. So the cities should collect development charges from landowners who have a benefit, who see their lands increase in value due to the plot ratio increase. And then we use this money to acquire other private lots of land that can be turned into public amenities or even public parks. So the government doesn't lose money necessarily, but the government transfers people from flatly living throughout an area towards the train station. They move them towards the train stations, and we also create new public spaces, new parks. And that is part of holistic planning that I'm calling for, that I think we should be looking at. But these things take time to evolve, and traffic congestion will not go away overnight. But if we start heading there, and I believe we can get there.
If you've got any questions for Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman, we're discussing town planning and higher density living today, two issues that affect many of us here in Selangor. That number to call is 03-771-09000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, townships like PJ and Subang were originally envisaged as urban sprawls away from Kuala Lumpur, you know, people heading it towards KL to work and then living in the suburbs. Has this policy turned out to be a bit misguided, perhaps?
I wouldn't say misguided, but I would say that urban sprawl is just spreading out. That's because more and more people are coming towards the Klang Valley. The population growth is just booming, and I don't think we're going to see that stopping or reversing anytime soon. So if people from around Malaysia, you know, people who may have grown, if you grew up in Taiping, Kluang, Batu Pahat, you start coming to KL to work. So we're not only seeing natural growth of people who were originally from KL or from the suburbs around KL, but even a lot of migration into KL. So with the boom, KL will be the first to see an increase in density, but PJ and Subang Jaya, being the two which are next to KL, will naturally see a low-density suburb being converted into a higher density suburb. In the place of that, now we see further townships. So you've got Bukit Jelutong, you've got now the new development of Rim Bayu, you've got Putra Heights coming up, and this replaces Subang Jaya and PJ as the low-density suburb that is even further away.
Right.
Yeah, so this whole idea of having low-density suburbs outside, I think will still continue for as long as the government allows it, because it does cater to a certain demand. It's all about supply and demand, and there are people who would like to live in such suburbs, and so they will continue to go further away where it's affordable and possible to have housing in that manner. But I think that era is over for PJ and Subang Jaya. The high density that we have is more likely to even get higher as the way things are going, rather than turning back the clock to what it was 30 years ago.
So with these new plot ratios then, and with hopefully, you know, that that sort of utopian situation you were describing earlier of, you know, being able to move people closer to transit and then create new spaces out of the spaces they vacate. How do we ensure that the people who are developing along those lines aren't just going to be developing the next, high-end property? And will there be affordable housing?
Okay, I think that comes down to zoning and incentives by the government. Now, if we leave it for a free market situation, I think it's going to be very difficult for us to have affordable housing close to Kuala Lumpur or even in Petaling Jaya, because land values are high in these areas. And land values are high because it's currently a free market system where you can build whatever you like. So if you have a 2-acre piece of land and you want to build condominiums on it, you're probably going to cater to the higher end market because that's where your profit margin will lie compared to catering to, let's say, a 300,000 ringgit range of condominiums because that will not give you such a good profit margin. So because of that, land values will continue to go upper and upper unless the government steps in to give certain incentives to developers of affordable homes. This is possible under zoning. In zoning, we can always classify an area that that requires affordable housing. And thus, that in itself will control the price of land, that it can't go up so much. So it's rather complicated in terms of the mechanisms, but the law does provide that avenue for each individual municipal council, so MPPJ, MPSJ, DBKL, they do have power under the law to classify certain areas, to impose these conditions, to ensure that we ultimately reach the social goals that we want. So we talked about traffic, we talked about green space, so now we're adding another element into the big, nice picture of a nice township that we want, that is putting in affordable housing into place. So that's something that can be achieved through zoning.
And you've talked about concept plans, and we've also thrown out, you know, a few cities' names. By now, we've talked a bit about Seoul, we've talked a bit about Melbourne. What cities can we model our transit-oriented developments after, not just our, you know, plot ratios or our green spaces?
I think a favourite model that we have in Malaysia is always Singapore.
I
think that's it's interesting because it makes all this lawatan sambil belajar much more affordable rather than going across seas. Melbourne makes another good example, which is very popular in discussions. I would draw some good practices from Singapore that we could emulate. First of all, nearly every development is well connected to public transport. So transit-oriented development in Singapore is not just about the MRT stations. The MRT stations are the backbones, the MRT lines are the backbones to public transport in Singapore. But nearly every development is within walking distance of a bus stop, if not a train station. This enables the whole city to be well connected. So that's something that Klang Valley should look to emulate. Now, it's great that we are building 2 MRT lines now. We're having the LRT3 that it will be coming up soon. The LRT Klana Jaya and Ampang lines are seeing an extension that is going to be completed soon. This is great, but this probably barely covers 20% of the Klang Valley. So we need to go much more than that. We need to rely on buses to fill up the missing gap, and we need to put into place a plan. Now, we cannot just hope that by building a few extra rail lines that everything will just magically fall into place. It doesn't work that way. That is why PJ is working on the Transport Master Plan to work on getting at least the high density areas well connected to public transport. And that's something that needs to be done throughout the Klang Valley as well. So I would still say Singapore is a good example. I would say Melbourne is a good example because in the suburbs in Melbourne, you can drive to a train station, hop on the train and come into the central business district. That is something that we sorely need to emulate in Malaysia. So if you're living in a suburb, so if you're living in, say, Kota Kemuning, you shouldn't have to drive to PJ to work. You should be able to drive from your house to a train station or a public transport interchange and park your car there and take public transport into PJ or into KL to go to work.
Or even walk from your house to a bus stop, take the bus stop to the train station.
You know, walking from your house to the bus stop is really ideal, but I also understand that some of our suburbs are very low density, that it makes bringing bus services to a walking distance from your house really challenging. So that's where having very low density comes under the category of urban sprawl, where public transport can't effectively serve an area. So we also want to consider that. And I've raised this matter with our state planning department, because if we keep having urban sprawl, low density urban sprawls, stretching the boundaries of the Klang Valley, we'll make it very hard to serve these areas by public transport. So maybe we need to consider managing the park and ride systems, you know, where you have low density, because people love to live in this double-story terrace house. I think we've covered this in earlier shows. And so it's fine. You know, that can still exist, but good park and ride system must be put in place in those areas.
Finally then, for people who are, you know, concerned, for people who do feel that congestion, who do feel that they're, you know, starting to feel hemmed in by city living, what would you say to reassure them about high-density, you know, high-density living, about high-density developments?
I think it's good that BFM is giving the space for this conversation. I also note, I mean, this is an area that has always been an interest to me, and I've seen that this year, compared to previous years, we have seen more newspaper articles, more letters to the editors on this subject. And I think that's great. I think we need more conversation on this topic. We need to create more awareness on this. And we need to know that we can get there. We don't have to live in a city that is accidentally built. We can actually plan. Now, we are not starting on a clean slate, you know, because KL is not a brand new city that we're building. They could have done it right for Putrajaya because it was built from scratch. And they still got that wrong from a public transport point of view. But with regards to PJ, KL, we can still fix things, but it will take time to evolve. But in order to push this high up the priority list, we need more people talking about it. And you know, what you can do is write to your member of parliament, write to your state assemblyman, tell them how important this is to you. So let's get more conversation flowing on this, more attention being put towards getting these things done right.
Thank you very much for coming in, Rajiv. I've been speaking with Rajiv Rishikaran, Bukit Gasing State Assemblyman. You know, for his monthly show on local governance, the topic this month was town planning and higher density living. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.